Welcome to Healing and Revelation, a weekly program hosted by healing evangelists Dr. Bill and Barbara Dewar of Revelation Wisdom Ministries.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all other people with burdens and pains, keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus.
To Jesus is a great spot to begin if you have nowhere else to start. Today we're going to focus on God's unconditional love for you. And that unconditional love, if you can get some small idea of what that is, how it affects you, if you can grasp that idea, you will have and see all of your problems melt away. God has provided for you and all of us, and His love is critical for our faith, for our daily success, for our daily bread, for all the things that we need, breaking off addictions and all the problems mentioned in this song. Hi, this is Bill Dewar. My wife and I are happy that you are listening to us this morning. Welcome. We have a packed agenda for you. We're going to talk about healing in our first part of our show, and we're going to focus on God's love for you in the second part of our show. The healing portions, we are healing evangelists, and we've been going on for several weeks on these topics, and we want to continue on where we left off last week, and then after a couple minutes, we'll switch over to the second part of the show, which is the revelation of how important God's love is to you and your family.
Today we're going to talk about the authority of Jesus in healing. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus said, I have given you all the power over the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Very good, very strong words, and frankly, there's a lot of meaning in all those things. That's the last paragraph, if you will, in Matthew 28. So we're talking about sin a little bit today. Sin can be an open door to sickness. That's really what we're going to discuss here. So if you look at disobedience, rebellion, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, sexual sins, addictions, and alcoholism, etc., they open the door for the enemy to enter your life. Once a sin is identified, confessed, brought to the cross, and repented of, the sickness often leaves without prayer for healing. So you have to understand that once you get rid of the root cause, the tree can't survive. The illness can't survive. So the message here basically is keep your heart pure before God and you will be healed and retain your healing. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Confessing every sin closes the door that the enemy previously used to attack you. That sin no longer has power over you. So the initial step is not the matter of condemnation, but the matter of self-examination. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You've got to take the time to keep the temple clean of all unrighteousness, all sin. So repent and ask for forgiveness. You don't need any special words. Examine yourself for addictions and rebellion. The words will flow out of you. Certainly God understands what you need to pray. It's not about the words, it's about the intent of your heart, the cleanliness of your life, and the things that you want to accomplish for the Lord. I have seen heroin addictions healed after they have repented. In psychology, they tell you that the child of an alcoholic will also become an alcoholic. But God's word doesn't agree with that. My personal experience is that if you're born again, you can renew your mind with the word and get free of all addictions. Well, to wrap up, you have to want to get free of the addictions, and then you have to want to repent. Hi, this is Bill Doerr talking about anger and bitterness. Anger and bitterness arises when a spouse, employer, or someone does not meet your expectations. Disappointment and anger rise up, and with each hurt, another brick goes up in the wall between you and the other party. Frequently, it's caused by unmet expectations. Good things didn't happen, or worse, bad things did happen. A real key issue here is communication. Communication softens the hurt that can occur, so try to over-communicate to soften that hurt. Anger can also erode your relationship with God. Unfortunately, people lose their jobs and blame God. Someone in church does something to you and you're blaming God. You don't understand why it happened, but you do understand that you're getting angry and bitter and you withdraw from God. Please restore your relationship with God. You have to understand that the circumstances or unmet expectations are caused by man or our flesh or a spiritual attack. They didn't come from God. Yet with every disappointment, you may pull further and further away from God with anger, disappointment, bitterness, or unbelief in God's love and His Word. The good news is God is not and never has been mad at you, but the enemy, the devil, is very good at creating problems and trying to cut you off from the source of all life and happiness. Please restore your relationship with God, repent of all known sins, and rediscover your joy with the Lord. Recognize the greatness of God. Don't listen to the prince of darkness. Reconnect your life to God and ask Jesus to come into your life, not only as Savior, but also as Lord. Ask the Father through the Holy Spirit to guide you into all He has for you. Recognize that you may never feel comfortable with God if you have unconfessed sin in your life. Repent. I hope you have a blessed day. I just want to mention that my wife and I, as you may know, are ordained ministers under Joan Hunter's ministry. Joan has a proliferation of books. You can see all the different varieties that she offers in multiple languages at her website, which is called joanhunter.org. At that site, you'll see all the things that the Happy Hunters have and a variety of things. We would encourage you to get more information by participating in the books that she offers. We also offer access to what we can share with you via the email address, and we are putting together a newsletter, which if you want to sign up for that, please send us an email so we can give you the newsletter when it becomes available. Thank you.
Hi, it's Barbara Dewar at God's Golden Microphone. Hello, praise warriors. At boot camp, you learn to attack, bleed, breathe, and do battle. Booyah! Overcomers are not passive. Revelations 12, verse 10. They are on the offense and they pursue. Target your enemy. Satan is your real adversary, an enemy to your soul. The Lord said, "Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord, use me." Isaiah 6, verse 8. Jesus said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Mark 16, verses 17 to 18. The Holy Spirit helps you wield the double-edged sword that cuts through flesh and marrow. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Let him speak to your heart with a still small voice. 1 Kings 19, verse 12. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Psalm 144, verse 1. Clap your hands. Psalm 47. Jehoshaphat's musicians were clapping and singing praises. 2 Chronicles 20. In biblical times, clapping your hands in front of the enemy was a way of mocking the defeated foe. Job 27, 23. Satan incites ungodly men to have violent persecutions against you. Luke 6, 22. Satan throws his darts and introduces thoughts of shame, hopelessness, and ridicule to your mind. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Servants in the vineyard are wounded by evil men. Mark 12, verse 4. The enemy uses our shortcomings to torment us with fear. 1 John 4, 18. The evil one flees when you resist him. John 4, verse 7. Satan cringes when you use the weapon of praise. Psalm 30, verse 10, and Joshua chapters 5 and 6. Praise defeats self-effort. It acknowledges that you are resting in God through Jesus. Be a worship warrior and put on the garment of praise. Psalm 42 and Isaiah 61. Nothing you do is insignificant when you are obedient. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Principalities try to get you to a place of doing your own works and self-effort and not relying on Jesus. So go this day and take back what the enemy has stolen from you. Clap, sing, and proclaim victory in the name of Jesus. It is finished. Praise God for the years you have, for your family, and all the good things He's done for you. Spiritual warfare is like biblical martial arts. We don't practice 1,000 biblical verses. We use 5 to 8 verses said 1,000 times each. Just believe in the finished work. Thank you, Jesus.
Hi, this is Bill Dewar. We're talking about imagination today, your imagination. Everything we do starts with our imagination, or it comes from a habit that was formed by imagination. So it's important to think correctly. It affects your attitude and everything you do. Imagination forms a mental image that cannot be seen by the eyes. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Proverbs 23, verse 7. You won't do anything in your physical body unless you thought about it first. Romans 1, 18 to 20. If you don't glorify God, and if you don't give God thanks, then your imagination becomes vain. Your imagination works against you to see only negative things. Romans 1, 21 to verse 32. The Holy Spirit helps you to imagine and see. Renew your mind daily in the Word. Romans 12, verse 2. And take every thought captive and make it obey Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Now I want my wife to testify about one of her situations.
Hi, it's Barbara Doerr. This is my testimony using the imagination during chemotherapy and radiation treatments for cancer. A vivid, positive imagination conceives what you say and think. Your imagination is something that you can use, and you can use it with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you to imagine and see it. Galatians 3, verses 1 to 5. During my 30 months of chemotherapy and 34 radiation treatments for breast cancer, I was alone in the treatment rooms at the hospital. I did not read books or listen to music. Instead, I would close my eyes and imagine seeing the Holy Spirit dressed as a white knight on a white horse with his sword outstretched, going throughout my bloodstream and body and defeating all of the cancer cells. And I saw the cells vanishing from my body. I was in a constant state of thanksgiving and praise as I visualized each defeat. Conceive healing in your imagination, and in your heart, see yourself healed. How did I do this? I renewed my mind daily in the Word, Romans 12, verses 2 to 3, and I used the measure of faith I had in what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I took every thought captive and made them obey Christ. And then I saw the Holy Spirit as my helper and comforter. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. You know, a personal testimony is very, very powerful. One of the things that we're really excited about is this radio broadcast, because we can do so many things, but we can't do everything. We realize that some of the physical healings that we could show you simply can't be seen. So we do put on seminars, healing seminars, training seminars, almost any schedule that you want, anywhere from a couple of hours to a couple of days. So please contact us if you want to do something in your church or in some other location, and we'll see that we can accommodate you. Thanks. Have a blessed day. Goodbye.
Yes, understanding God's love will help you become an overcomer. Understanding God's unconditional agape love for you will help you love others. Many people are burned out. They've been discouraged. They've been abandoned. They've got problems that go beyond what we ought to have. And yet, I'm asking you to think about understanding God's love for you, because if you understand God's love, you'll be able to have all your problems melt away. You'll understand that God has everything taken care of for you. There is no reason to be upset about anything. Now, of course, we have to work our way through these things, and we have to really decide that we want God's peace in our life, and we need to make the right decisions to accomplish these goals. And there's plans laid out for us. God has a plan for each of us, and it's a great plan. We need to know who we are in Christ and who we are in God, and we need to understand how the Almighty functions with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to focus on love this second half. It's our revelation topic for today, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, this is Bill Dewar. Our topic today is God is love. God loves us the same as He loves Jesus. A true revelation of this will stir up our faith and allow us to walk in the fullness of God. God's love is the key that opens the door to everything that God is. God is love comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God's love is not one-dimensional. There is width, length, depth, and height to it, which can only be comprehended through the revelation and knowledge of the Holy Spirit. There are at least four different types of love, but only three are mentioned in the Bible. There is eros love, which is between a man and a woman. There is philo love, which is a type of brotherly love. The Greek word storge refers to the kind of love that occurs naturally between family members, which is a good gift from God. It is that powerful love that sweeps over a mother when she gives birth. It is the love between brothers and sisters. God built natural affection into every person, just as He put a conscience in every person. The word storge is never used in the Bible, but a storgos, which means without natural affection, is mentioned in Romans 1, verse 31, and also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, where we are told, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people." Then there is agape love, which is the type which God has for you. Agape is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love, the highest type of love in the Bible. This Greek word and variations of it are found throughout the New Testament. Agape perfectly describes the kind of love Jesus Christ has for His Father and for His followers. Jesus said, "Whoever has my command and keeps them is one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." And that's from John 14:21. In Ephesians 3, verse 19, Paul prays for us to know the love of God which passes knowledge. How can we know the love of God if it passes knowledge? This sounds like a contradiction. Simply, Paul is praying that we will experience the love of God which passes mere knowledge of it. Since a true revelation of God's love makes us full with the fullness of God, then a lack of being full of God must mean that we lack understanding and experience of God's love. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds me that if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Looking to God to understand love and centering on 1 Corinthians 13, we find that love is patient, kind, humble, polite, serving others, self-controlled, forgiving, good, and truth-loving. Love is not envious, boastful, nor desiring recognition, nor proud, rude, nor wanting to be served. It's not quick-tempered, unforgiving, entertained by evil, nor does love seek out a lie. This is the agape love, the love that is only available as it flows from the throne of God. Thank you, Jesus. On a side note, we want to welcome you to our new website and invite you to take a look at what we have to offer. There are some wonderful pictures in there that have come from NASA. One of them is the Eye of God. And this is a cloud of gas that's a trillion miles long that's captured in this picture from the Hubble telescope. Thanks again for listening.
Hi, my name is Barbara Dewar, and our topic for today is love and the narrow path. Dear saints, if we pushed our children to have faith and read the Bible like we pushed them to get a degree, I believe we would see better results today. It is not too late for us to help them with their faith and to explain biblical grace and love to them. Love won at Calvary, and that ensures victory today. Jesus said, "All things are possible to them that believe." Mark 9:23. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God to walk in faith on God's path. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding, so that the wicked would see God's goodness shed on you." God's path is the byproduct of his love for us in being blessed and highly favored. Matthew 7:14, "But narrow is the way to get on God's direction, because you have to block out everything and read the Word of God and stand on its promises." God, through Jesus, has a good plan for us to receive divine abundance and protection so that you can live and move in it. If God is for me, who can be against me? You can have the best of things in the worst of times. How? By walking the divine path. The Lord's Prayer says, "Thy will be done." Jesus began the prayer by recognizing that God is the authority. In John 5:30, Jesus says, "That I do not do my own will, but I submit to the will of the Father." Romans 6 tells us that you are either under the authority of God or you are a slave to sin. You will either be a part of God's divine order or you will become a part of the new world order. I pray that God will help us to explain this to our children. The excitement of the world has clouded so many things in their thinking. Rebellion is a root that was planted by a single seed named fear. Fear of the future, fear of losing their job, home, and family. Fear brings torment. A spirit of fearfulness and timidity does not come from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God's perfect love casts out all fear. When they stop trusting God and His Word, they lean on their own understanding and rely on the counsel of their ungodly friends, as described in Psalms chapter 1. They forgot that they will only find courage, peace, and strength through a relationship with Jesus. When you have frustrated faith and feel that no one understands or loves you, go to Jesus and not to a friend. The trials of life do not shatter peace or silence courage in witnessing and cannot steal God's love for you. Loose yourself from the world's cares or worries and cast all of your cares on God through Jesus. In your relationships, if there's any injury or unforgiveness, release them and be forgiven by God through the blood of Jesus. Strongholds in your mind are brought down. The disarray of thoughts are silenced, and you only hear the voice of God through obedience to His will. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We will continue on these topics, both healing and love, next week. They are exciting topics, and I just want to point out that we're talking about God's unconditional love for us, which is very dissimilar to the kind of love we see on a daily basis. Most of the love that we see is performance-based love. God's love, again, is not performance-based. It's unconditional love. Hope you have a great day, and thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to our show, hosted by Dr. Bill and Barbara Dewar. Contact them at Revelation Wisdom Ministries at Post Office Box 218, McHenry, Maryland, 21541, or by email rwmi
5555 at gmail.com. And please consider supporting this program by contributing on our website, rwmin.org, or sending your tax-deductible donation to Post Office Box 218, McHenry, Maryland, 21541.